नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तं सर्वलोकामरयज्ञसङ्ग्रहम् जयमयं द्वाम्यमयं तपोमयम् यज्ञायविचित्रायजतो भवायते राजन् स्वदेशान् अनुरोधमर्हसि Sarvaloka,
Sarvaloka,
in all planets, Amara, with the predominating deities, Yagya, sacrifices, Sangraham, who accepts, Tarimayam, sum total of the three Vedas, Dravyamayam, the owner of all paraphernalia, Tapamayam, goal of all austerity. Yagnai,
by
sacrifice.
Vichitrai,
various.
Yajata,
worshipping.
Avaya,
for elevation.
Te,
your.
Rajan,
O king.
Svadeshan,
your countrymen.
Anurodum,
to direct.
Arhasi,
you ought. Translation. Dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deities, is the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices in all planets. The Supreme Lord is the sum total of the three Vedas, the knower of everything, and the ultimate goal of all austerity. Therefore, your countrymen should engage in performing various sacrifices for your elevation. Indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifices. There's no purport, so we'll go on to text 22. Yajnena yuzmad vishaye dvijati bir vita yamanena shudakala hare shvishta shutashta padishanti vanchitam tad elanam narhashi virajitishtun. Translation, text 22. When all the Brahmins engage in performing sacrifice in your kingdom, all the demigods who are plenary expansions of the Lord will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you your desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performance. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods. Text 23. Vena uvacha varisa bata yuyamba Adharme dharma manina ye vrididam patim hitva jaram patim upashyate. You can repeat the word for word here. Vena,
Vena,
King Vena,
King Vena,
uvacha,
uvacha,
reply,
reply,
balisha,
balisha,
childish,
childish,
oh Prahladji, bata,
bata,
oh, Yuyam,
Yuyam,
all of you,
Va,
indeed,
indeed.
Adharme,
Adharme,
in irreligious principles,
Dharma
Manina,
Dharma-manina,
accepting as religious,
yea,
all of you who,
all of you who,
Vrittinam,
Vrittinam,
providing maintenance,
providing maintenance,
Patim,
Patim,
husband,
husband,
Itva,
Itva,
giving up,
giving up,
Jaram,
Jaram,
Paramour,
Paramour,
Patim,
Patim,
husband,
husband,
Upashate,
Upashate,
worship,
worship.
Translation, text 23. King Vena replied, you are not at all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship. Report. King Vena was so foolish that he accused the saintly kings of being inexperienced like small children. In other words, he was accusing them of not having perfect knowledge. In this way, he could reject their advice and make accusations against them, comparing them to a woman who does not care for her husband, who maintains her, but goes to satisfy Parama, who does not maintain her. The purpose of this simile is apparent. It is the duty of the Kshatriyas to engage the Brahmins in different types of religious activities, and the king is supposed to be the maintainer of the Brahmins. If the Brahmins do not worship the king, but instead go to the demigods, they are as polluted as unchaste women. I'll read the translations again. Dear king, the supreme personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deities, is the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices and all planets. The supreme lord is the sum total of the three Vedas, the owner of everything, and the ultimate goal of all austerity. Therefore, your countrymen should engage in performing various sacrifices for your elevation. Indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifice. When all the Brahmins engage in performing sacrifices in your kingdom, all the demigods who are plenary expansions of the Lord will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you the desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performances. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods. King Vena replied, you are not all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship. Oma gyan timidandasya gyan gyanah shalakaya chakshurvilitam dhyanatasmai sigarave namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shvayam Rupakada Vayam Dadanti Shvapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gada Kar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Amrim Shrom Om Bharo Tatek Hadivikesh Vibhila Padagalocha Nebhan Padakanaka Svarsiva Singha Namaste. So, in these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the Brahmanas finishing their dissertation to the demoniac king, Venu, encouraging him to engage in religious activity, particularly sacrifice, for the betterment of the population working under him. And King Vena is replying, in a very sarcastic way, he's accusing these brahmanas, who are qualified brahmanas. He's saying to them, you are not experienced. It is very regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and accepting it as religious. And he's accusing them that giving up the real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship. So in this verse, we see a conflict between the brahmins and the kshatriyas. Actually, the Varnashram system, Varnashram Dharma, is the scientific arrangement for the progressive values of material and spiritual. Chaturvanam ayashtrishtam gunakarmad bhavashaha, Krishna says, that he is the source of this Varnashram system, which enables us to meet the basic necessities of life and to progress to the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness. Now, each of these elements of the Varnashram system, particularly the Varnas, or the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, they each play a very important role. Just like in the body. Sometimes the Varnashram system has been compared to a body. And all the parts of the body are important for the proper functioning of the body. But the most important part of the body is the head. If we lose our head, then we have no real direction. The body cannot function properly. So similarly, when the head of society, which is taken as the Brahmins, and also the Kshatriyas are considered to be head, because Brahmins, they preach religious principles, and Kshatriyas uphold religious principles. If you preach, but no one's upholding, then what is the use of your preaching? So these two parts of the Varnas, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, they're most essential. Now, if they're not giving the proper direction, spiritual direction, we'll see chaos in society. And that is our present situation today. We're both, there are no, practically speaking, no Brahmins, there are no real Kshatriyas, so therefore society is in a chaotic condition. For example, there's one disease called epilepsy. Epilepsy is actually a dysfunctioning of the nervous system, which begins in the brain. Sometimes we call people like that spastic. So, if this disease is present in the brain, then we see an epileptic fit. An epileptic fit means a person, he loses total control of his body. He cannot do anything. So in the same way, our modern society is a spastic society. It is not making any real progress. When all the parts of the body have one common goal, to move forward, everything works very nicely. But if each part of the body had a different idea, and a different direction, it would simply be chaos. That's spastic. Spastic means that the nerve impulses to the different parts of the body are broken or mixed up. So there's simply, just like you see a chicken with his head cut off, there's movement, but he's just running around the barn. Actually, it's dead, but it looks like movement. It's running around the barnyard, like just running, but there's no head. Eventually, it dies. So that is the situation of modern society. Without the proper direction of brahminical knowledge, Krishna consciousness, without the support of a strong leadership in the form of Kshatriyas, our society has become a spastic society. Uguna Karma Pava called it. It's so much useless work, useless endeavor. It appears to be progress, but it's like the progress of a chicken running around with its head cut off. Some ignorant person may, wow, look at this living entity. He's running around, he has no head, but he's running around. But an intelligent person's not impressed. He knows there's no real life there. So a person with knowledge, he knows there's no real progress in society. What type of progress is it? It's deterioration. Decomposition. That's also a type of progress. When a body dies, what happens? When the person, the soul, leaves the body deteriorates back into the ground. Decomposition. That's nature's way. That's also a type of progress. But we would rather have the other type of progress. If someone says, you're going to progress very nicely today, you're going to die, and your body is going to go back into the elements. Well, we're not very interested in that type of progress. We want the progress of life, progressing forward. So that is the situation. They appear to be making progress, but they're developing all bad qualities. Just like when a body begins to decompose, it rots and it stinks, isn't it? Even a little rat. The other day we were someplace, I don't know where it was, and there was a horrible offensive smell in the building. And we traced it back to a dead rat that was caught underneath the house. The dead rat. So it was a very offensive smell. So this modern society, it is very offensive. It is offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because there's no sacrifice going on. And when there's no sacrifice, that is a direct insult to the Lord. Just like if someone gives you something and you slap them in the face. It's an insult. Someone says, here's everything. Take everything. Here's your food. Here's your clothing. It's like when we were kids. Our parents gave us everything. Then most of us, we rejected our parents, or that was the tendency some years ago. You rejected everything. So that's an insult. Biting the hand that feeds you. Someone gives you and then you spit in their face. What is this? So, we are the Supreme Lord is maintaining us. He's giving us everything. He's only asking that we perform some yajna to acknowledge that He is the Supreme Proprietor, the Supreme Benefactor, and the Supreme Well-Wisher of every living. Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to say thank you? What kind of person is it that, you know, he receives so much mercy and is ungrateful and he does not say thank you? So like Prabhupada said, when the disciple leaves, that's a great embarrassment for the spiritual master. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was once initiating some sannyasis, and right in the middle of the sannyas initiation, one woman came in and dragged her husband away from the fire before he threw the greens. Bhakti something, you know, Maharaj, and he was just, you know, and he went, no! So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati broke down in tears at the ceremony. He broke down crying. to see how much he was caring. Because he could not save this man. So Prabhupada used this point. He said, if the disciple leaves Krishna consciousness, then it's a great embarrassment because the spiritual master is recommending, oh, here's a nice boy, here's a nice girl. My dear Lord, you please accept them as your humble servant. On your recommendation, I will accept. We have no qualification ourselves. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, what do we know? But if you know somebody who knows, or know who he knows somebody, then on the recommendation, yes, I will accept. And then if that person goes, then what is the situation? Oh, you recommended this person, but now he has left my service. I've given him this, and then he has left it. He's rejected. But that is ungrateful. So at least we should be grateful. If we have nothing else, gratitude is a very important quality. Just like Narada Muni said. He said, my spiritual master has been so merciful to me. How could I ever leave his service? So one who actually appreciates the gift as it is being given, he will be grateful. And no one likes an ungrateful person. No one likes. At least if you give, all you want basically is a thank you. This is Vaishnava etiquette. Vaishnavas are the best of gentlemen and gentle ladies. So we know proper etiquette. If someone is kind to you in any way, then the Vaishnava is always very quick to respond. Oh, thank you very much. He acknowledges. Because this act of giving gifts in Krishna consciousness is very essential for our progress in devotional service. Rupa Goswami has described these six activities of devotees. Exchanging gifts, exchanging prasadam, inviting someone into your home, and accepting the invitation, and realizations. Revealing the mind and hearing someone else's Krishna conscious revelations. These are the intimate exchanges of devotional service. So Krishna consciousness is a very intimate, is a very personal movement. So what is it to say thank you? Actually, we are made of the mercy of Hari Guru Vaishnava, of God, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Actually, we are what we are only because of their association. So therefore, devotees always saying thank you. How does he say thank you? Raghunath Das Goswami, he was offering obeisances 10,000 times a day. How much is that? That means practically every step he was offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas. So this is the proper understanding. What is the real nature of mercy? Causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means we may not deserve it. We may or may not deserve it, but the Vaishnavas, they force us. It's like we used to work on a horse ranch. We were training horses. And every week we would have to give the horse some medicine. So horses, then if you just can't, my dear horse, please, you open your mouth and take this pill. Horses, they don't understand. So, you know, three of us, one the top nose, the bottom the lip, and they open up. Somebody else would take these big pills, they're like these huge pills, and we'd ram it down the horse's throat. So the horse needed medicine. Perhaps he was sick, he needed some medicine. So this is the Vaishnava. Don't expect in your preaching work that people are going to, you know, wow, here comes such and such Prabhu. You know, stop everything on the street. You know, take his mercy. No. They're all in ignorance. Apology. They're all in ignorance. They're all in illusion. So therefore the Vaishnava has to force them. Wake up! Sleeping soul. He has to force. So it is not always a very pleasant business. As we've stated before. Obviously, when did I ever say that preaching is easy? And actually, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the innocent. But the devotee, because he has knowledge, vidya vinyasampane amanigavi hastani sunichaivas pakecha pandita samadarshana, he sees with equal vision all living entities. Then out of his, with his advanced spiritual realization, he takes compassion upon the people, and he practically has to force them to take Krishna consciousness. They may not say thank you. But we as Vaishnavas, we should be grateful. We should be grateful. Actually, it's described. that one cannot repay the debt that one has in Krishna consciousness. But we have to try. Just if we try, that is enough. So how do we try? We have been saved by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Now we spend the rest of our lives trying to repay his divine grace by assisting him in pushing forward just Krishna consciousness. So that is a grateful son. That we should see. So people do not know that the Supreme Lord is actually providing everything. Therefore they're ungrateful. Therefore they don't perform sacrifice. Therefore they're actually inimical towards God. So sacrifice must be performed. It must be performed. To acknowledge, yes, thank you, Krishna. At least you are providing the basic necessities of my life. And what more? You are providing this wonderful process. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You're so merciful. We're the burnt remnants. We are the burnt remnants. Everybody else has gone back to Godhead. We're still here, foolishly attached to this material world. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dupura Yuga, meditation, sacrifice, temple worship. We missed out. But we must have been some untouchable chandalas or something. Well, not all of you. That would be offensive to say. But anyway, those born in the Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, they're the leftovers, the scraps. It's like you eat and what you don't want to eat. Of course, this principle is not there in Krishna consciousness. We have to eat everything on our plate. That's another offense. To take prasad on the plate and not respect it. Krishna comes in the form of prasadam. You respect him by eating. And if you leave something, that's offense. It's like not finishing the artik. You know, you get all the way to the ghee lamp and you put it down and walk away. That would be an offense to Nitai Gaurachandra. To finish the artik, to finish your rounds, execute your vows, finish your service during the day, finish your prasadam. If you don't finish it, it's considered to be offensive. So, we should acknowledge the Supreme Lord by the performance of yajna, that he's offering so much, so mercifully, and we have to acknowledge. If we don't acknowledge, then it's restricted. Just like they have that saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. If someone's giving you something and you bite their hand, then you don't expect very much more to come. If you take proper advantage of it, you can expect so much more. So, Prabhupada explained this in relationship to the facilities which Krishna has given us in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to expand the movement, but we have to know how to properly utilize whatever the Lord has given us. Sometimes we have many big plans for preaching, many big ideas how we're going to expand this movement. But we have to learn to take proper advantage of what Krishna has given us. And just like a father, when he sees his sons and daughters are taking proper care of the things they've been given, then he'll very nicely, he'll give them more because he knows that they will take proper advantage of it. So if we take proper advantage of all the facility, which means that we use everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada said so much money is coming, so many men, so much capital. He said, but if we use even one farthing for our sense gratification, that will be the cause of our fall down. So as individuals and as a society, we must be we must acknowledge that everything that is coming is for the purpose of spreading the Sankirtan movement. For ourselves, we take just the bare minimum, and the rest we engage in devotional service. That is the proper understanding. And then we can see, if we properly utilize what Krishna has given us, then he'll give us more. To become more mature in Krishna consciousness, the Father, he gives the Son more responsibility. Accepting responsibility is a sign of the Lord's mercy. He's pleased. So therefore, we should be eager to accept responsibility in devotional service. We should want to accept challenges and services and responsibility because that's a sign of recognition. Just like when you get old enough and your father thinks that, you know, you're serious and mature, he hands the keys of the car over to you. Okay, son, here you go. Here's the keys. It's a very costly machine, the automobile. Costing thousands of dollars. When the father feels, oh yes, my son, he's now mature, etc. So I have faith that if you take this car, you'll use it properly. So the Lord wants this movement to expand like anything. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted that this Sankirtan movement would go to every town and village of the world. And it would save the world at its darkest hour. Why isn't it happening? Why aren't all the people chanting Hare Krishna? The Lord wants it, but we have to become the qualified instrument in the hands of the Lord. We have to become pure devotees. One Japanese sociologist, he said, nothing can stop this movement. There's no demons that can stop this movement. Even if they try to, even if the Georges do win the case, and they won't. But if they do win the case, they think they're going to stop us, taking away our buildings. Just like Socrates, the guards were going to make him drink poison. He said, we're going to kill you. You drink this poison, we're going to kill you. Socrates said, you'll have to catch me first. Because Socrates was a partially self-realized soul. He knew he wasn't the body. He knew that he existed after death. So if you want to kill me, you're going to have to catch me. The guards were very surprised. Anyway, so this essential ingredient in the success of human society, sacrifice, must be performed. We'll quote again, very important verse. In the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them that the performance of this sacrifice all desirable things would bestow upon. So that is a law. You can't change the law. Just like as an ordinary citizen, you don't have the power to change the law. You have to follow the law. And if you follow the law, you'll be a happy citizen. And a citizen that breaks the law, he's an unhappy citizen. You're not independent. Prakrite kriyamanaini gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara guratma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of material nature, thinks himself to be the doers of activity which are actually carried out by material nature. So in illusion, we think we're independent, but we're not independent. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, means declaring our dependence on God. Not declaring our independence from God, but declaring our dependence upon God. That is Krishna consciousness. And that our rulers must know. The ruler must know, just like the citizen must know, what is the law of the land. If he knows the law of land, he can be happy and prosperous. And generally, in a good government, if you follow the rules, the government is very benevolent. The kings of yore were very benevolent. The sudras, at the sacrifice, the sudras, you know, the Brahmins got all the riches and the gold and the silk and everything. They got all that. What'd they do? They're Brahmins, they're renounced. They didn't want it. They're happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just give me some japa piece, some wood. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. They distributed it to all the sudras because sudras, they like fancy clothes and ornaments. It's the nature of a sudra. Because they're the bodily concept of life, they like to dress in a very fancy way. You see, everyone's a sudra now. Everyone's a sudra. They're very much conscious of their clothes. So in the Vedic age, the Brahmins would distribute to the sudras. So the sacrifice was essential for the progress of human society. Declaring our dependence upon the Lord by the performance of sacrifice. Now the leaders, they must know this art of following the laws of God. It's like the citizen has to follow the laws of the country. The king, he has to enact the laws of God. Otherwise, it's simply ludicrous how the king thinks he can become independent of God and rule without acknowledging the laws of God. Therefore, unless they acknowledge God in his laws, doesn't matter what leader they will, they'll be a failure. Communism, capitalism, socialism, monarchy, whatever type of government it is, unless the rulers acknowledge God and his laws, how can they, as the Archbishop of Canterbury said, they want the kingdom of God without God. It's not possible. This phenomena has very much become prominent in Kali Yuga, the separation of church and state. And they think this is progress. When you separate the church from the state, but the whole basis of Vedic culture was the close interaction between church and state. You can't separate church, meaning God, from the laws of the state because of the ultimate laws. They're the most important laws, the law of karma. That's one of God's laws. How can you govern successfully if you're encouraging your citizens to break the laws of God by killing animals? The king is meant to protect animals. Now the kings are slaughtering animals. So they can pass so many rules and have so many meetings and you know, big politician. But unless they close down the slaughterhouses, they're hypocrites. Because it's a law of God. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Krishna says, offer me with love a fruit, a flower, a leaf. These things I will accept. He won't accept, you know, corpses, dead bodies, meat, slaughtered and living entities. So if you try to govern and you're not in knowledge of this law, then what is the meaning of your government? You're actually doing violence upon the people. And you yourself will get the reaction. Because a leader, he gets 1/6 of the karma of the people. Good and bad. So is it surprising that so many of our modern political leaders die violent deaths? Live by the gun, die by the gun. Indira Gandhi, we mentioned Indira Gandhi, we won't repeat. Remember what she did to the Brahmins and the cows? So how did she die? She got about 30 bullets in her abdomen. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. 1/6 of the karma. TP also. Temple president. The guru gets everything. The guru has to accept all the karma. But the temple president, maybe he's also getting as much as those who are initiating in our movement. Because he may have 50 or 60 devotees in his temple, and if he's got, you know, some weak devotees, then that accumulation of all that karma may be equal to, you know, accepting the karma. Anyway. So we can ascertain here that the devotees are all very good devotees because Kalasambhara Prabhu never gets sick. Told me so. He never gets sick. So that must mean that you're all doing very nicely. Hare Krishna. So live by the gun, die by the gun. Because they're not actually following the laws of God, they're not upholding the principles of religion, they have to accept. So how can you separate God's laws of his creation? It's like Pondraka. Pondraka was such a nonsense. He thought he was Vishnu. So he challenged Krishna. He was sending letters to Krishna. You rascal imposter, he said to Krishna. You're just an imposter. You're a rascal. Come onto the battlefield and fight with me, Pondraka, who am the original supreme personality of Godhead. So he pasted, you know, with some blue tack. He put some arms, 2 extra arms, kind of moved them like this. You know, and he had a discus in one, and, you know. To the intelligent man, this was the most ludicrous situation. It was ridiculous. Who does he think? But he's even thinking he can do it. He can, you know, put some sticky tack on his back, paste a couple of cardboard arms, you know, paint a Sudarshan chakra like that. And he can go out and, you know, watch out, Krishna. Sudarshan chakra, the real Sudarshan, not the cardboard one, with the yellow crayon, but the real one. So is the position of our modern leaders any less ludicrous? That, you know, they are trying to rule without acknowledging that the laws of God, which are supreme, the laws of God are supreme. And if you really, the king is a representative of God. He is not a king in his own right. No one is a leader in his own right. One is a leader because he represents Krishna. So the king must know what is God. He must be Raj Rishi. And he must work very closely with the church, which means the Brahmins. That was the Vedic age. Vedic age meant that the church and the state was like one. And nowadays, it's as far apart as they can make it. Isn't it? So many constitutions of the world guarantee that there'll be no interaction between the churches. Because this is Sudra. Sudra means it doesn't want authority. Sudra means animal mentality. So an animal, basically a wild beast, you have to train him. A few animals you can domesticate, like cats and dogs. But if you get a wild dog or a wild cat, it takes a while to bring him under control, isn't it? Because an animal by nature is very independent. He doesn't want to serve. He's just an animal, beast, wild in a jungle. Every man for himself. Jiva jiva sajivanam. That is the law. They call it the... Anyway. So, sutras are like that. Sutras don't really want authority. Actually, a Brahmin wants authority. An intelligent man, he wants authority. A humble man, he realizes his insignificant, unfortunate position, and he wants help. He wants direction. He wants encouragement. He wants chastisement. That's a sign of an intelligent person. But an unintelligent person, he's prone towards anarchy, rebellion, complaining, fault-finding, bringing down the leadership, because he doesn't want to have authority. He wants independence. And independence for what? For sense gratification. It's like people don't want to accept God, because if they accept God, that means they have to stop their sense gratification. If God actually exists, that means that I'm part and parcel of God, and that means I have a responsibility towards God. I have a duty towards God. That means I just can't do anything and everything I want. Right? That's why they don't want to accept God. Because many of you accept God, that means I'm culpable. I'm held responsible for all my actions. And God will say, do this and don't that. So that this is the taking the principle to the quintessence. Having no authority. Abolishing God. That means I can do any, as Baba said, any damn thing I want. But they're foolish. That's like sticking your head in the ground as an ostrich. The ostrich is running, or the emu, and they call them emus. Not the emus do what the ostriches do, but they just try to avoid the fact by hiding their head in the ground. But the facts are the facts. And the hunter's coming after the ostrich. It doesn't matter if his head's in darkness and the ground, still he gets the reaction. So they can try to abolish God, abandon God, kill God with their philosophy, the science, but they're still going to have to accept the reaction. They can say God doesn't exist. They can say there is no God, but that's just like the ostrich sticking his head in the ground in darkness. Their knowledge is actually darkness. It appears to be something, but it's like fireflies at night. But when the beautiful sun rises, the fireflies are insignificant. So when this philosophy is preached, these scientists are exposed for what they are. Rascal cheaters. Ostriches with their dumb, stupid heads in the ground. Not accepting the real fact that there is God. And they can do anything they want, but the reaction is going to come. It will come in a big way. We can expect that. Just like Nrisimhadev, he appeared in a big way to that demon. He appears as his devotee, as Shamsundar, as Nitai Gaurachandra. He appears in a very beautiful way, because the devotees are deserving that. But those are, they'll also see God. Everyone has to bow to God. The atheist and the theist, because God is the supreme controller. Time I am, he said. I have come in to engage all men. So either you bow down. Manmana bhavabad bhakto majati mam namash guru. Krishna said, bow down to me, worship me, offer your homage. So with great pleasure, yes, sir, we offer obeisances. The demon, he also has to bow down. He has to do dandabats also. It's like we do dandabats. But they do their dandabats like everything else they do, backwards. When they die, they also do dandabats. And they place them in the earth, upside down. They've also fallen to God's supreme power as the supreme controller, as the time factor. You have to bow down. Why not bow down in humble submission, the bliss of Krishna consciousness? So this is the position of our rascal leaders. The Prabhupada would lash out at them. He said, why are they not challenging these scientists, he said. Why is no one challenging? Just like dumb sheep, everyone falling the head sheep. Well, there's a type of rat they have in England. What do they call it?
Lemmings.
Huh?
Lemmings?
A lemon?
Lemon.
Lemon, yeah, lemon. These rats, they have a peculiarity that one of them goes crazy. And when he goes crazy, he runs to the cliff. And boom, he goes off the cliff and he's smashed on the rocks. And all the other lemons are thinking, whoop, let's go, let's follow the leader, follow the leader. And they all go in, one after another, thousands and hundreds and thousands and thousands. It's just, it's an amazing phenomenon. They're just going off the cliff, going off the cliff to their deaths. As Jesus said, the blind following the blind. So why is no one challenging? Why is everyone's head in darkness? Why are we accepting these leaders? We shouldn't accept. We should have a revolution. Many devotees were revolutionaries before they joined them. So this is the perfect place to be if you were a revolutionary. If you want a real revolution, you can dovetail everything in Krishna consciousness. So here's the real revolution. People are tired of these governments. They're tired of these leaders. There's many amongst them. So here's the real. Prabhupada said, he actually, this is quite amazing. Prabhupada said, the first civil disobedience act. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenging the Kazi. Now this was only 500 years ago, but here's the vision of the devotee. The devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna. You know, all history, all time. So, you know, before 500 years ago, there were revolutions. And there were, but Prabhupada just thinking in terms of Krishna and its significance. Maybe there were other revolutions, but the real revolution is Krishna consciousness. We're revolting against Maya, birth, death, old age and disease. I don't want any more. I want to revolt. If you want to revolt, don't revolt against your parents. Don't revolt against your school. Don't revolt against the local council. Don't revolt against your government. Revolt against Maya. Prabhupada said, becoming Krishna conscious means declaring war on the material energy. So if you want to revolt, here's a revolution. Krishna consciousness, the real. So therefore, that is the vision of the pure devotee. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is the history, but it's not chronological. The most significant events in the history of the universe and the cosmos are taken and as used as reference. So time is not important, it's the message that's important. The chronological evolution of an event is not as important as is the significance of an event. So there were many revolutions before 500 years ago, but Prabhupada considered the first civil disobedience act, the first act against government, was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rejection of the Kazi who forbids Sankirtan. The Kazi forbids Sankirtan. He said, break the Murdangas! Wake up, Prahlad! He said, break the Murdangas! In other words, stop, just like now, the governments. They want to stop this Sankirtan movement. This movement is in their real interest. They want to stop it because it's a challenge to their demoniac ways. We're challenging them. We're preaching religion. Religion means no sense gratification. They're only after sense gratification, so no wonder they persecute us. The fact that they're persecuting us is thank you very much. It's a great honor that such a demon as you are persecuting our movement. Because that means you see us as a threat. That means we're real religion. They don't bother with these other groups like Maharishi Yogi, you know. What are they doing to challenge? They're not Guru Maharajis. They're not doing anything about them. They're not doing anything about even the other religions. They're not doing anything about Christianity. Because it's all bogus, it's all watered down. The only real religion is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Arrivo!
Therefore, we are a great threat to them. Therefore, they're trying to do everything that they can to stop this movement. New Zealand's always a little bit behind the times. But get ready. Prabhupada said, first they will laugh at you, then they will persecute you, and then they will accept. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, before Krishna came to Vrindavan, there was no demons. No. When Krishna came to Vrindavan and Kamsa found out Krishna was in Vrindavan, then the demons started coming. So the fact that the absolute truth was actually present in Vrindavan agitated the demons that had to come and kill him. So the fact, you know, that our movement is being persecuted in America and in Europe and in various degrees everywhere in the world means that we're a success. Thank you, sir. That is the great. For a demon, see, devotee sees Krishna everywhere. We had a nice newspaper man yesterday. He said, geez, even the bird in this place seems Hare Krishna. The newspaper interviewer. He was a pious man. He said, He said, my God, he said, even the bird in this place chants the name of God. He was so impressed. Krishna consciousness. So, okay, you see Krishna there. He's a pious man. So where the devotee sees Krishna everywhere, the demon is saying, you nonsense Hare Krishnas. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. They don't say that. They don't try to stop the Christians and the Muslims. No. Because another thing, because we're real, because we're authentic, we pose a great problem to them. We're saying no sense gratification. They're saying sense gratification. Therefore, we will meet, but we will be victorious because we have Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We will be victorious because we have Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the revolution, this is the real revolution. Prabhupada said the first civil disobedience act. As far as he was concerned, all these other civil disobedience acts were not real civil disobedience acts. It was simply adding insult to injury. That they changed the political parties in Eastern Europe from communism to capitalism. We're not impressed. It's one donkey taking the seat of another donkey. That's all. Out of the frying pan into the fire, adding insult to injury, that is the situation. We're not very impressed with that. So Prabhupada never really considered that there was real anything is only real when it's Krishna conscious. Something is only real if it's Krishna. A relationship is only real if it's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. A meal is only a meal if it's prasadam. Otherwise it's sin, isn't it? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you eat bhog, it is lumps of sin. So make sure that when you travel sankirtan, you know, you eat prasad. Prasad means the Mala, Vishnu Vidaya, Krishna Vishnaya. You do all the prayers, clean altar, some incense, some flowers, conscious. Krishna, please, you're very kind, accept this prasad. Otherwise, bhog. And bhog means, just like you want to eat some karma. Also, you're eating karma when you, not you, but some devotees watch television and you know, read newspapers and magazines. This is also another way of eating. It's like we say that we also feel satisfied by hearing this philosophy. Like when you eat, you feel satisfied. So when the soul is satisfied when we hear this philosophy, so it's also a type of eating. So it not only bhog, sin, means eating unoffered food, but it may also mean, you know, hearing the realizations, quote unquote, of the materialistic people, which is nothing more than sex and violence. So if we lend an ear, we're eating their karma. So, the first civil disobedience act, challenging the real revolution, the first real revolution was when Lord Chaitanya, he challenged the Kazi. And that revolution brought down the Kazi. So actually, if we want to change these leaders, Prabhupada said, you know, we really, practically speaking, you can't go to these men. They're Kali's agents. We shouldn't publicize this class, but anyway. They're Kali's agents because they are keeping the people in ignorance. So to try to challenge them, that's not a very practical thing. But how does any revolution start? It starts amongst the masses of people. And the people themselves demand the downfall of the leaderships. In Romania, what is his name? Siscano? Since Gunnell, he was a dictator for, you know, 3 or 4 decades, and no one could stop. He was so powerful. He was only brought down by the fact that the people ultimately rose up against him. No force on earth could bring him down because he was such a demon. But the people rose up against, then what can you do? If the people turn against you, what can you do? So how will we change the so-called leadership? By prasadam distribution, book distribution, and Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. See how intelligent Prabhupada is. He was so intelligent. He's knowing how to change the face of the world. You can't change the face of this world until these people are removed. And how are we going to remove them? Start our karate class upstairs? We will not do that. How will we remove all these people? We have to remove them. That's why Krishna comes himself. 5,000 years ago, the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of different persons who were posing themselves as the royal order. So the Lord came, and what did he do on the battlefield? He annihilated all these rascal kings. He got them all together in one place, and he wiped them out. Krishna can't stand when his kshatriyas become puffed up. He even has one incarnation called Parasarama, just for these type of people. When the kshatriyas were not listening to the Brahmins, when they separated the church and the state, so to speak, Krishna became very upset. And he came down to the earth as Parasarama with his chopper. He annihilated those kshatriyas 27 times, the whole race. And Krishna himself often appears as a kshatriya to fight these rebels, because that's what that's what the problem is. The people are innocent by nature. People in general are innocent. They can be molded like putty, like clay, one way or another. So it's the duty of the leaders to be benevolent. It's like a child. You can train a child to be a demon, or you can train a child to be a devotee. So the leaders must train the innocent people, who are basically very simple, must train them to become Krishna conscious. So when they abuse that principle, just like someone may abuse a child, what is a more serious crime in modern society? Nowadays we hear of child molestation. It is a heinous crime when a young child is molested by an adult. Even rogues, they rise up in anger. It's things like this go on. But isn't any less serious a crime that the so-called leaders of society, the philosophers, the scientists, and the political leaders who have perhaps a little more intelligence, yes, that's why they're in their positions. You can hear them speak, and they've got some intelligence, but it's stolen by illusion. And they're not any, and the innocent-like people, especially the innocent elements of society, the children, the women, the Brahmins, and the cows, and the old people, they're molested. They're molested by the leaders. They're raped by the leaders. Is it any less a crime than child molestation? Than taking advantage of the innocent people and exploiting them for sex gratification? Dragging them to hell? Is it any less? No, it's not. So just like a child molester, you made a culture, you cut his head off with a sword immediately. No trial. Off with your head. At least that's the way. Now you can get away with murder. But then, that was tantamount to murder. Off with your head. So therefore Krishna comes as Parasarama 27 times. It's a deal with them in that way. So unless these persons are removed, how can the innocent man? Then we talk about freedom. What is real freedom? Freedom means the right to practice sanatana dharma. The leaders don't have to tell the people what religion they should practice. They don't say you must be, just like in Fiji. I was in Fiji recently. And in Fiji, the government, thinking it's very, and progressive and very religious, they are saying no more mosques and no more temples, only Christian churches. They're thinking they're very religious. They take religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion, just like King Vaina. In this verse, King Vaina, he's accusing the most religious people of being irreligious. Just see. The most religious persons, the Brahmins, he's accusing them. He's sarcastically saying, you're irreligious talking like this. So the government of Fiji, now they want to impose a law. It's going to the polls in a few weeks. They want to impose a law. What is that law? No more temples and no more mosques. Only Christian churches. But actually the government is not meant to be sectarian. The government is meant to uphold religious principle. If you want to be a Christian, or you want to be a Hindu, or you want to be a Muslim, that's up to you. But the principles of religion must be. You must be a true Christian, and a true Hindu, and a true Jew, and a true Muslim, too, in the sense that you follow the actual teaching. So that is what the government is meant to do. So King Vena, just see, King Vena, he's posing himself as a very religious man. He's less than a sudra, but he's posing himself as a religious man. And this is the evolution of history, especially in Kali Yuga. If you think about it, if you go back 1,000 years in time, you'll see that the church was originally in charge, the Christian church. We're talking about, let's take European history, for example. So 1,000 years ago, due to the spread of the Christian teachings through the apostles and the saints, you know, there was some purity there, principles there. So it spread, and the church became very prominent, and actually the Brahmins were in charge. Actually in Vedic culture, also the Brahmins. The king looks like he's in charge, but actually it's the Brahmins who are in charge. He's the executor. Like you have a temple council, you have an executor of the desire of a temple council or something. Executive head, they call it. So actually the king's position is as an executive head. He executes the orders of God through his council of Brahmins. So the Brahmins, they were actually in charge. It was actually, the Brahmins really don't accept the executive position, but they give the knowledge. We don't want to be politicians. No one should feel threatened. No politician should feel threatened by this Krishna conscious movement. We don't want to take their positions. The devotees don't like to manage. Generally speaking, the position of temple president is the most unpopular position in this movement. You can satisfy some of the people some of the time, but you can't satisfy all the people all the time unless you're Kala Sambhara. The devotees like that. So we don't want political position. They should not feel threatened that, you know, we want to become public. Forget it. You know, we want to chant, we want to dance, we want to take a shot, we want to serve the deities, we want to go to schools and universities and preach, we want to chant japa. You know, we don't want to, you know, we'll do it if we have to, and we'll do it in a relative way within our own communities, but if you ask us to step up, you know, forget it. You know, we want more time for hearing and chanting. That's the devotee. Expert manager means that you can take a week off and just chant and dance. Where in the world? I've never been to a temple. You know, we're on the way from the airport. I said, what are we going to do? And the temple said, well, we're just going to chant and dance for 1 week. I said, what about Sangha time? No. That's also Sangha time, chanting and dancing. Feasting. I said, what about the money? He said, the money will come. Because I don't know what happens when I leave here. Maybe everybody goes on a marathon or something. But that's expert management. Expert management, you can manage your time so nicely that you have sufficient time to hear and chant. So Brahman isn't necessarily, he'll be a kshatriya if he has to. He'll be anything if he has to. But he'll do it Krishna consciously. He'll do it very happily. But basically speaking, Brahmins, you know, they're always a little chubby. See the picture of Prabhupada, because they're free from anxiety. Management means anxiety. So basically, Brahman, he'll always be a little, he always do the little. Prabhupada said, to be fat in Krishna consciousness is not good, he said. But at the same time, due to their lazy intelligence, the Brahmins, they have a little belly there. Anybody here? Usually there's always somebody in the temple with one of the men. But this is a sign of freedom from anxiety. Lazy intelligence. You're telling everyone, you do this, you do that, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is Brahman. Brahman means that he's just interested in hearing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Parasevanam, Marchanam, Bandhanam, Sakyamat, so forth, Dashanam, Atmanivedanam. He just wants to engage in the 9 processes of devotional service, and he likes to preach. You can take him anywhere, just like Kridai Mangal Maharaj when he was here. He just preached all day long. I heard he was up in his room, and you know, all day long devotees were going there, and he was just, he could speak for hours and hours and hours. This is devotee. Or Atma Tapa, Prabhu. I come to class with notes. Apatapa Prabhu, he just sit him down anywhere, 5-6 hours. You know, just has he been here?
He's coming.
You should get him here. Is he coming?
He's coming.
Well, you're very fortunate. And he'll just speak on any subject, from all angles of vision. He'll make you laugh and roll on the ground. And accept, you know, that's Krishna consciousness. When you can make your audience accept the, you know, conclusive truth through hilarious laughter. Sometimes, you know, hear this and hear that. But if you can laugh about it, it makes it much easier to accept. So Amitabhu, he's a very expert preacher. He can make you accept it in a humorous way. Also, serious. But anyway, the point is he can speak and speak and speak and speak. So this is a devotee. Devotee has so many realizations. That's his work. His work is educating. People say, what is your work? What are you doing? Why aren't you out there shoveling the ground and laying asphalt and building buildings and making cars? You know. But our work is on another level, under the level of intelligence, actually. The Brahman's meant to be intelligent. That's his element, and to be in your own element, they say. So our element is buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means the yoga of intelligence. Krishna conscious intelligence, not the intelligence of these fools and rascals. Their intelligence is stolen by illusion. Prabhupada said, you know, they're saying that so many scientists and philosophers and everything, that they're the most, why aren't they here in this movement? Because they're not intelligent. Here are the most intelligent people. Intelligent means to see things in its proper perspective. What is that? This material world is a temporary place full of suffering, so let me join the Hare Krishna movement. Become really intelligent. Become Krishna conscious intelligent. So that is the position of the Brahman. Brahman, basically, he's just speaking. And if he's not such an expert speaker, even he may be an expert speaker, then he speaks by educating people by distributing books. That is preaching. Prabhupada said, what will your 10-minute lecture do? But if you go out and you give someone a book, then his whole life could become perfect. You can speak for 10 minutes, and anyway, who can preach like Prabhupada? We are all just reflections of Prabhupada's grace. So if you, any devotees, he's, like Prabhupada said, you are all my parts and parcels. So Prabhupada is the greatest preacher. And he is present in the form of his books. So if we actually going to be our actual Brahmins. Brahman doesn't mean you get sacred dead, you chant necessarily, you chant Gayatri Mantra. Brahman means what? Ultimately, Brahman means a preacher. So if we are going to fulfill our role, Prabhupada said, I want to create a society of Brahmins. I want to create a society of Brahmins. If we're going to fulfill our role as Brahmins in societies, then it has to go beyond Srimad Bhagavatam class. We have to go out on the street and, you know, challenge the Qazi by distributing these books in mass. And to the degree that we can distribute books and hold festivals or collect funds, whatever it may be, for printing books and maintaining our beautiful temples as an example to society, that's also preaching. To that degree, we'll be successful. So, although Brahman is lazy, intelligent, it does not mean he does not have a pressure on him. The pressure is there. The order of Prabhupada is there. And our success will be, as Brahmins, how much knowledge we can disseminate within society. So how to do that? Again, Prabhupada was so intelligent. Mass book distribution. Distributing books everywhere. He wanted books in every home. That's like establishing the deity in people's homes. If you can give them these books, then you're giving them Prabhupada. But when you sit and you read Prabhupada's books, you should think that Prabhupada is personally talking to me. Because Prabhupada said, I wrote these books for my disciples. So it's very intimate, getting the association of a pure devotee. through the Bhaktivedanta purports, is ecstasies. And the ecstasies of Prabhupada are being showered upon human society, just like rain cloud. Shamsara Dava Nalalita Loka. The Shamsara Dava, the raging fire, the repetition of birth and death, is being extinguished by the mercy of a pure devotee in the form of his Bhaktivedanta purports. So that is the Brahman. Brahman may not be active like a suit, not foolishly active. He's intelligently active. He's not foolish. Yes, we're very active, sir. You're saying, get a job, do this, do that. But we work harder than the karmis. Our devotees actually work harder than the karmis. Because we're working on a spiritual platform. Material work means you become fatigued after some time. But the fact that the proof that this is transcendental, this movement, and this service is transcendental, it's not passionate to work hard on Sankirtan. When you go on Sankirtan, you work hard. You sweat, you give your blood, sweat, and tears on Sankirtan. Never be accused of being passionate. That is transcendental. If you're chanting your rounds and reading the books and following the principles, that is the spiritual energy. Work now, samadhi later. So those devotees who dedicate the most energy in pushing forward this movement and preaching, that is spiritual. That is our definition. Because they've understood the essence of the Sankirtan Yajna and their responsibilities as members of this movement to preach Krishna consciousness. So it's not passionate work, labor. It's service to Guru and Guru. And therefore, it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying to work hard for Guru and Guru. That is our life. That is our soul. The soul is by nature active. So when we can be active in the service of the Lord, which in this age means preaching work, then, yayat maushru prashriyati, we can feel the real satisfaction of the soul. So what is the proof? The proof is that after the marathon's over, we can't stop. You know, when karmis dance for 3 hours at a disco at night, they don't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Of course, nobody else woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. They woke up at 4:15. I saw the brahmacharis in the shower. 4:10, they're all getting up. Anyway, we made it. 4:30, safely out enough. But that's all right, because he fasted yesterday. So, you know, after hard work, they become fatigued because it's on the material platform. But after we work hard in the service of the spiritual master in Krishna, we become more enlivened. Isn't it? We become more enlivened. The more service that we can get in Krishna consciousness, the more happy we are. They're trying to avoid work. We're looking for service to Krishna. What do we say to the Lord? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. My dear Lord, please engage me in your transcendental service. So we want service. We thrive on service. That is our life. That is our soul service, especially preaching activity. Whatever service we're doing, of course, everything is related to preaching, but to get out there on the streets and get in the factories and get in the offices, and this is touching the soul. This is what a devotee, this is the taste that we're always anxious for. So, we can go on and on and on. Prabhupada said, why not make a career of this book distribution? Why after a few years we have to stop saying your time? Why deny ourselves that? The bliss of going day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, life after life on saying your time. Saving the conditioned soul. We become more and more. And not, we don't think when you get old that you're going to retire. You may slow down a little bit. You may go, you know, store to store with a cane or maybe a wheelchair. But there'll be nobody else like you in that wheelchair. Wow, what was that? That was Hare Krishna devotee distributing books. Really? Yeah, she's 79 years old. Look at her going. She can't stop. Look at her. Like they have those skateboards, you know? You see all the kids. I know they got these bikes. They have these little short bikes. I don't know if they have them here. I've seen them in Australia. The new fad now is these little bikes where you do all types of tricks. You can stand on the bike when it goes, and you can spin on it, and you can go on one wheel. This is the new thing, you know. It's more than skateboards now. It's become these little bikes. So you'll see our devotees, you know, in old age, in their wheelchairs. they'll stand on one wheel, they'll come out of book, you know. They'll go to another wheel, and they'll turn around, and they'll dodge this, they'll go into the store, they'll be so expert. Nothing can stop. Body may break down, but the desire will increase. So what do we have? How much do we have to look forward to? We just have to become detached from this body and to get off the bodily platform. But what a future we have in Krishna consciousness. So wonderful what we have to look forward to if we see it in the right way. If we see it as service. We are tendency to see service as labor because we're on the bodily platform. But service in Krishna consciousness is the essence. We're praying to the Lord for service. So that is an increasing. Ananda Buddhi Bharavanam. It is an increasing principle. In the spiritual world, there's also time. But time works in favor of the devotees. Here, time works against you. But there is some conception. I cannot explain exactly how it's working, but time is not a deteriorating factor in the spiritual world. Everything that's here is also there. But somehow or other, time serves to assist our service to the Lord. It increases. Here, time is deteriorating, destroying. In the spiritual world, time is increasing and assisting the service. So somehow it will be like that. So if we think like that, then we can understand that actually what we're doing now will continue and only expand. So somehow our service will continue even in old age and even beyond death. So how nice. Anyway, I wanted to return to this point of the evolution of the separation of the church and the state in Kali Yuga as opposed to the proper understanding of Manasham Dharma, where the church and the state, or the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, work well together. So we're talking about the Brahmins. So the Brahmins, 1,000 years ago, they were in charge. The church was in power, wasn't it? 1,000 years ago, the Christian church was in power, and they were doing quite nicely. They were ruling it. It was the Brahmins who were ruling the society. The Brahmins were ruling, as they did in Vedic culture. Not the Kshatriyas, ultimately, but the Brahmins. And then what happened? Later on in Europe, because of the degradation of the Brahminical order, or so-called Brahminical order, the Christian church, then the Kshatriyas took over. Right? People became upset with the church. So they revolted against the church. And the politicians took control. That's what happened in England. The Church of England was as a result of the King of England separating from the Catholic Church in Rome. They no longer agreed to cooperate with the Pope, so they created the Protestant Church, the Church of England. But actually, what did it mean? It meant that the king was the Pope. So and just see how the evolution is happening. And the Brahmins were in charge, and then the Kshatriyas came in charge. How can you have a Kshatriya as a head of a church? It's not possible. It has to be a Brahmin. Anyway, it's slowly creeping on. So this is 17th century. 16th, 17th century, the French Revolution, also, no, that's next. So the revolution against the church, and then the Kshatriyas came into power. And after the Kshatriyas came in power, then the people revolted against the Kshatriyas all throughout Europe. The French Revolution, it was the people revolting against the Kshatriyas who were also themselves abusing their position. And then who took over? The Vaishyas. The merchants and the shop owners, they're the ones that became the political power in France, England, Spain, Vaishyas. And gradually the Vaishyas were thrown out through communism. Communism became widespread. And what is communism? Sudra. Just see the evolution. How Kali is so expert that he has separated the church from the state. Originally there were Brahmins, then there were Kshatriyas, then there were Vaishyas, then there were Sudras, and now communism is going out. So what's after Sudra? Chandala. Sudra was part of the Vedic conception. But beyond Sudra is the Chandala class, or the untouchables. They have no rules, no regulations. So now that's, they're thinking, oh, now, you know, we've thrown out these communists, we've thrown out the Sudras, so what are they going to replace it with? They're not going to replace it with something better, they're going to replace it with something worse. So you're going to see now how the Chandalas, they take power, and you're going to really see some fireworks. Let them get settled. Let them get in their positions. Because Kali Yuga means an evolution, progression of inauspiciousness. And certainly, whoever is going to take power now, they are not God conscious. So the situation will only get worse. So we need a revolution. And where will that revolution come from? It'll come in the form of this international society for Krishna consciousness. And as we said the other day, somehow this move will save the world in its darkest hour. And it will all take place through the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes?
You were mentioning before about being passionate while doing your service. What's the position of someone who's outwardly doing a lot of service, they're quite fired up, but they neglect to chant around?
That's called over-endeavor. Also, Rupa Goswami describes the things which are unfavorable to progressing in Krishna consciousness. And he mentions over-endeavor. So we can understand over... There's no service that a devotee can't accept. As the verse was stating yesterday, nothing is impossible for a devotee. Nothing is impossible for a devotee. But it's all based on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, our service, as we mentioned, is an expansion of our chanting. And whatever deficiencies or difficulties we have in Krishna consciousness is as a result of improper chanting. Chanting is the fundamental principle of devotional service, as Kaviraj Goswami describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's only two principles of religion in this age: chanting Hare Krishna and serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnavas. Those are the religious principles. Because all religious principles are within the chanting of the holy name and association of devotees. All benefits can be obtained. So if one is negligent in that regard, then there'll be problems. And if one is successful, then his service will also be successful. So if we want to do big service, and we do, we also have to have a very good sadhana. And otherwise we'll be like shooting stars. You know, wow, you see that? Yeah, it's here today, gone tomorrow. We want to be like the moon. And unlike the material world, there's only one moon. There can be many moons in Krishna consciousness. Many moons. We've seen a sun and the moon arise simultaneously over the horizon of Goda in the form of Nitai Gaura Chandra. So there can be many moons. In the material world, you know, there's a competition, there's only one person who's the winner. In the Olympics, there's only one person who wins. But in Krishna consciousness, everyone's a winner. Everyone becomes a winner. So if we have the understanding that we want to perform big service for the Lord, and we do have those, Prabhupada has given us that instruction, how the movement should expand, etc., then purity is the force, and that means, just like we're doing now, having Bhagavatam class, chanting our rounds, greeting of the deities, Prabhupada's Guru Puja. These things will be the source of great spiritual strength and enthusiasm for us. So over-endeavor means when one performs service without the proper foundation of sadhana. It's like building a big building, but the foundation has a crack in it. You can build a big building. But if the foundation has a crack in it, then eventually that building will fall. So the most important part, those of you who do construction, practically speaking, the most important part of the building is the foundation. We had this problem at Radharadana Temple in South Africa. We think, we're not exactly sure, but you saw the moat, that little lake around the temple, so the water started to seep away at one point. And we actually realized that the piling on which the temple was built on this particular piece of land, and the piling went into the ground, but the piling, we suspect, was not into hard rock. The piling was into dirt. So anyone who knows, if you're going to build a building, you have to have a really solid, your piling actually has to go into bedrock. You have to clear away the topsoil and inner soil, and then the planting has to go into bedrock. And that will give support to the building. But the suspicion is, what we're thinking is that when the temple was built, because it was built very hastily, very quickly, the piling only went partially into bedrock, and a good part of it is only in dirt. So things are shifting underneath, and different pressures are being enacted in different parts. So we're thinking that the very foundation of the building may be cracked. And as a result, the water is seeping out of the moat, which rests just on top of the foundation. So, now to fix that is a very expensive thing. It's costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, if in the beginning the devotees had been more careful and assessed the situation and done the necessary, then later on we wouldn't have this problem. So therefore, you know, we're in our beginning years of devotional service now. And our foundation, our bedrock, is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But sometimes you hear other things. Hare Krishna, Rama Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama 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 Hare Hare. Listen. You go around the temple room and listen. And you'll hear the Maha Mantra. So it's imperative and essential to our progress that we get the proper foundation. If nothing else, at least enunciate Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as it is. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And nothing more and nothing less. You don't have to add any words. Krishna 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 Krishna. As a detractor. Just that. See, that foundation is there. And then that chanting of 16 rounds and the chanting in the kirtan and the spreading of the holy name, that is the sum and substance. So over endeavor means that I try to, you know, someone may say, oh, well, we'll just put more, we'll build on Radharadhanath temple. We'll balance out the, you know, the foundation. We'll put more, the more weight you put on that building now, the more the principle of the original mistake is magnified. If you have a mathematical equation, and it's a very simple mathematical equation, but there's one little mistake in there, then as the equation gets bigger, the error is magnified. It's not that it goes away. In mathematics, if you know the principle in mathematics, if you expand a number, and then but the just as the number gets bigger, the error also gets bigger. So in the same way, if we let these idiosyncrasy, we consider them idiosyncrasies, but they're actually major faults. In the execution of our sadhana, our devotional service, then it's not that it's going to become covered by big service later on. You can't cover it up. There may be some big service there for a while, just like you can balance, you know, a big thing on the temple of South Africa, but it'll simply put pressure and the crack will get bigger. To go back, rectify the mistake. But rather than doing that, let us build a strong foundation at this point so that our service can grow organically, not artificially. Organically. According to our means, not our dreams, let us expand this movement. And that means what? We can have big plans, but let's be pure to do it. Let's remove all the sense guide. Then we can do big, big things. But it's not wrong to concentrate now, just like a good student. You know, prepares for his exam, and a good athlete, he practices in the fields, and, you know, so now we're practicing. Practicing makes perfect. it's easier to do it right in the beginning than have to go back and correct it. Prabhupada told a story. There was once a violin teacher who opened up practice, and the first person to come was someone who didn't know anything about violin, so he said, how much will it cost for the lessons? And the violin teacher said, $10. I will teach you to play violin. So later on, another person came, quite expert violin player, but not as good as the person who was teaching. So he said, so I'd like to learn violin from you also. So how much will it cost? And the teacher said, $1,000. So the violin, the person had come, he said, well, what, you're charging me $1,000 and you charge this person only $10. I know much more than him. So the violin teacher said, He said, you may know more than him, but you have many mistakes in your practice. So I have to untrain you. I have to unravel where you have made the mistakes so that I can teach you, you know, the proper way of play. So that is our situation. Better that, you know, we progress, you know, what do they say? Sure and certain. We progress, slow but sure.
Slow and steady.
Slow and steady. What do they say here? But better that than a show of devotional service. What does service mean? Devotional service. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What is our ultimate goal? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So if we want to do service, we are distinguishing between passion and service. And I said, to do service, you need a good sadhana. So that means that when you're doing the service, it will be Krishna conscious. Either you'll be thinking of Krishna, or if you're selling a painting and you have to talk about Hong Kong or something, I don't know what, you can't think of Krishna. You'll be doing it for Krishna, and the same result will be there. You may not be able to, when we're out there working hard on Sangatan, you know, we have to, we're like a soldier on the battlefield, you know, we know how to load our ammunition, how to get from point A to B, how to get in that office. How am I going to get in that apartment building? It's all locked up, you know. Well, I'll just read Krishna book and think of Krishna. No, you think, you know, let's see now. Yes, I'll get in the basement. We did this one time. Did I tell the story here? There was a big, big building, 15 stories in Paris, and no devotee could crack it. Couldn't get in there. So, you know, devotee, in those days, it was stiff competition, you know. So how are we going to get in that building? So I went there and studied the building and used a little training I had before, you know, guerrilla warfare. So I sat there and I studied that building. I noticed that the VIPs were coming in with their cars, and they would put the little thing in the garage, and then the door would open. They go in, the door would immediately close, and that was the only way you could get in the building. Otherwise, you had to go to the security guards and present a special pass. You had a special pass, you had to wear it like this, and you went in. They even searched everybody who went in the building. They searched, even you work there, they still search you when you go in. So, you know, kind of crack this building. So I watched. So then there was a potted plant. You know, they had two potted plants on either side of the opening of the garage. So I went there and I hid. And I was in dhoti. And I had a big garland on, a big tilak. And this was before paraffin. I just had Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita first came out. And I hid behind the pot. And I waited an hour. I was thinking of car. I just waited and waited. And finally a car came, you know. I was hiding there. And he put his card in, and the garage door went up, and it went in right inside, hit around the corner of the garage. He drove his car in, you know, he got out, you know, he went up the stairs, so I waited. And then I just went on the elevator. There's an elevator to the basement. And then I went up to the 15th floor. I began distributing books there, and it was really good. Because nobody had ever been in there, you know. So I was distributing, and then I went to the 14th floor, the 13th floor, then the 12th floor, and all of a sudden, you know, what are you doing here, you son of a... How did you get in here? And I said, I turned around, this big, huge, heavy guy in charge of security. So I said, how did I get in here? I came in the car down to the garage. One guy picked me up. He thought these books were so important. He thought everybody here would like one. He said, who was it? I said, gee, I forget his name. Just slipped my mind. You know? He said, you got to be kidding me. They brought you this. I said, it was no problem. And he said it was okay. You know, he said it was all right. So I said, then I kind of threw him off a little bit because I didn't really cheat, right? I just got in there. And they said, all right, well, anyway, you know, damage is done, he said. Damage is done. I said, well, that's debatable, sir. I said, anyway, get out. So he trusted me, you know, because he thought I came in an honest way, you know. Yeah. Dishonesty is the best diplomacy in working with demons. So then I went in the elevator. I said, yes, I'm going right out, you know. I said, no problem going out. So I pushed the elevator and went down to the 9th floor. And I got out of the 9th floor. And I started swimming books on the 9th floor. And it was going pretty good again, really good. All of a sudden, you know, I'm just pivoting there, and everyone looks up. See, I'm facing all of them. I'm giving a little talk about this book and this pack of incense. And all of a sudden, everyone looks up. I'm thinking, you know, well, what did I say wrong? What did I do wrong? They're going, I said, what's the problem? I said, all of a sudden, this guy literally is about 6 feet four. He picked me up, you know. And he just lifted me up and turned me around and said, I told you to get out of here. I'm just going. I just elevator stopped on the 9th floor. I just thought I'd get out of here. And he's shaking me. My feet are on the ground. You know, I said, I told you to get out of here. So then he literally dragged me, you know, and he opened an elevator door. Pushed the door, the elevator open, and boom, he threw me in. Oh, my head cracked. I had a big bump here. My head hit the elevator inside, and my books went everywhere. And then he's standing there, and I'm in the elevator. He's going to get in and escort me down. And I look at him, and I smile. I push the button, and the door closes. Then I go down to the 4th floor. I gather my books. I think, no, I won't go to the 4th floor. I'll go to the 2nd floor. So then I go down, you know, I lose my attention. I get into a conversation with somebody. They're interested in Bhagavad Gita. So I'm talking to all of them. He hit me right in the back of the neck and knocked me down. You know, like, quite, it knocked me almost unconscious. And I got up, you know, and there he was. He was like, you know, Srinivarta personified or something. And this time he didn't bother taking the elevator. He dragged me down the stairs like an animal. And I had bruises all over my body. And he takes me down to the reception desk. It's a big reception with like 4 or 5 secretaries there. You know, and he throws me down on the ground there. And then every time I get up, he punched me and knocked me down again. So I learned my lesson after 2 times. You know, stay down on the ground. So I got my books out, you know, and I took my beads and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna again. And a lot of people began surrounding me. And I thought, well, I'll try to get up again. So I got up and boom, it hit me in the stomach, and I went down again. So then the people, they were on my side, you know, because some of the ladies and the men had been upstairs. They'd come down, and they were, it was their lunch break or something, and they saw me. They said, what are you doing? He said, this man is a monk. But this guy was a real demon. He said, he wasn't supposed to get in here. He broke security regulations, and I'm calling the police. So I got on the phone. He made a big call to the police. And then the police came, da 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 da, how they have a sound they have in France. And then the paddy wagon came, you know, and all the French police, with their mustaches, they all got out, you know, and where's this, you know. And they made a big show, you know. They came in, and they tied my hands, and they tied my feet, and they carried me out like you would carry a tiger out in Bengal, a captured tiger. They carried me out, I'm hanging like this, you know. And they have these, ankle cuffs, you know, they're so painful, you know, and this guy's, you know, twisting, you know.